March is National Nutrition Month, and Superbeats by Human wants to get your cardiovascular system back in rhythm. Did you know that the top health benefit that Americans want from their food or nutrients is cardiovascular health? But 38% feel confused about what to eat to achieve goals. Superbeats is a highly concentrated, scientifically formulated solution that supports healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. According to a recent announcement by the American Heart Association, 48% of Americans have some form of serious cardiovascular health issue, and 39% have unhealthy blood pressure. Superbeats helps boost your nitric oxide level, which is critical to healthy blood pressure levels and cardiovascular health. Try Superbeats risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeats.com to get this special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats with your first order at danasbeats.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617 now and get your heart moving to Superbeats.
But instead, with gun violence, right now, we're not doing anything. Not even the most sensible kinds of things. Background checks. At the federal level, no fly, no buy. Like if you're on the terrorist watch list, maybe you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. That weapons of war do not belong on our streets. To make it easier to kill. No. There's so much that we could do to improve safety for our children and for all of us. Things that people agree with who are gun owners and things that people agree with who are not gun owners. And we have to do them at a federal level.
I can't even. What in the hell is this boomer talking about? I don't even know. Hi. Hi, welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Again, nothing that literally was said right there makes any sense at all whatsoever. Like nothing, not a single bit of it. None of that makes any sense at all whatsoever. None of it does, because none of it's true. That was Elizabeth Warren. Was it one of her like campaign stops or something? Like yesterday? No. Last night. It was last night because she had her CNN town hall thing and... which was a train wreck, and we'll talk about that. And then there was she, because we have a bunch of, I want to go over just like some of the craziest stuff that's like happening from these primary candidates just for going into 2020. So she says, hold up. I'm going to pull this up. So she has that we don't have any background checks. We don't have, yeah, we do. That's wrong. Secondly, she talks about the no fly, no buy list. Okay, there's a huge something that there's a pretty significant problem with that. And the problem with what she is suggesting is that there's several different kinds of lists. And I don't really like lists. I'm like, why in the hell are you going to screw around with putting somebody on a list? Charge them. If they're sketch, charge them. If you don't want them to buy a gun or fly on an airplane because you think they're shady, then charge them. Bring them charges. It's so easy. Instead of saying, well, we're not going to really bring any, we're not going to charge you. That's stupid. Because with any of these lists, and I've talked to people who have been on, I have a member of my family who was on a list. He has like one of the most common first and last names ever. And the government verbatim told him that it was easier to change his name than to get off the list. There's no published data or any sort of regulation as to how one gets on the list. There's zero legal recourse to get off the list, according to three of my own personal friends that have gone through the legal process. One took years just to get their name cleared so they could get on an airplane again. So there's zero legal recourse. There is no actual criteria that you know in terms of how you actually end up on the list or not, and there's nothing you can do. So why not stop being lazy as all hell and just bring charges? Wow, Dana, that's like such a great idea. I never actually thought about it like that. No, these people just want to sit back on their giant boomer butts. Yes, I'm using that word because I'm mad at these people. I'm mad at Elizabeth Warren, and I'm so tired of her trying to be hip with it. I'm just done. So, I'm so tired of her sitting back on her big giant butt and say, well, let's just, you know, we'll just keep them on lists. We're not going to actually bring charges. That's how this is done. Initiate that process. Bring charges. If you believe that individual is so dangerous, why in the hell are you letting them run around completely unencumbered? Because they can go out and buy guns and everything else. Bring charges then. That's so simple. It's just the simplest way to do this. And it amazes me how they're like, well, how dare you suggest I actually put some action with my rhetoric? You horrible racist, you must love child murder. That's how these people react. It's the most insane thing ever. And the idea with this whole list and the fact that she's bringing this up, this is just, these are old talking points. I mean, they proposed this back in after the Pulse nightclub massacre, which was a terror attack. It's an arbitrary list. People's rights are restricted and they have not been given any due process at all whatsoever. If you are an innocent person and you haven't been convicted of anything, why in the hell is the government taking your right away from anything? And if you have a problem with that, then you're free to leave and go to China or go to Venezuela where there isn't due process observed. But don't sit here and try to diminish the freedoms of the United States and make it into some mimic of a third world country. That people don't understand that if you're giving people the power to restrict freedoms on completely, you know, specious, dubious claims, then you can use those restrictions against anyone and everyone. People don't understand this. So that's the first part of it. The other part, she had her little town hall. I got some 2020 stuff for you. She wants to abolish the Electoral College. Who was the one guy came out and said, we need to be against circumcision, which he came out of nowhere with that. Did you hear that, Kat? Andrew Yang came out and said, yeah, we need to come out against circumcision. That guy actually said that. Yeah, that's a big issue. You guys don't think that's a huge issue? Yeah, this is a really, so he's the guy who, I don't know. I don't know. He wants to ban parents from, I guess, from circumcisions, and he's just a weird cat, and he wants to give everyone $1,000 every year, a universal basic income and all of this stuff, and he comes out and he's like, yeah, I'm against circumcision. I'm just waiting for Elizabeth Warren to come out and be like, also am I against circumcision too. But she instead has come out and said she is against the, she pitched $100 trillion in new spending. I love where people think that, where do people think money comes from? Where does money come from? Do they know? Do they really? I'm serious. Do they really know where it comes from? How it's made? We're just going to spend $100 trillion on all of these new things. She came out and said she wants to also abolish the Electoral College. Here's the audio for that. This is from her CNN town hall. Listen. Apparently, I guess we don't have that. So she came out last night at the town hall and said that she
funded overwhelming student loan debt burdens, meaning that many middle class and poor individuals obtain those loans to create a better future, but are having issues doing that.
Oh, LaToya, the answer is yes. I have got plans to reduce student loan debt. Let me just start here.
You know, she's a part of the regulating body that controls that. That's not the Electoral College, though. That's not the Electoral College audio. So she came out yesterday and said, apparently it says on the rundown that we have this audio, but there's no number for it. So she came out and said that she wants to abolish the Electoral College. I'll see if I can pull that audio up for you while I talk. She said that she wants to, this is something that a lot of them, can you play that, please? Because I've only asked like 1,000 damn times. Thanks.
In the general election, presidential candidates don't come to places like Mississippi. Yeah. They also don't come to places like California and Massachusetts, right? Because we're not the battleground states. Well, my view is that every vote matters. And the way we can make that happen... is that we can have national voting, and that means get rid of the Electoral College and everybody.
Yeah. Well, so she wants mob rule. And when you talk about abolishing the Electoral College, what you're doing is you're talking about completely restructuring the voting process in the United States of America. And that's just not, I mean, that's not American. And they're upset over the Electoral College because they lost an election. It's only when they win elections that they really like it. Whatever they miss out on, whatever they lose, that's what they want to change. Like how they want to pack the Supreme Court and they want to add extra seats on because they've lost the advantage on that. And they've lost, I told you this right after the election, I said this is going to be a judicial agenda for the president, not a legislative one. And that's exactly what's happening. And they've opened their eyes to it and they're mad about it. So now here we have this. The idea that you're going to abolish the Electoral College is you're discussing it. It's actually making it less representative of the people. And they are, it's not about every vote counting. It's only about some votes counting. That's their whole entire goal with this. So she came out. She's come out for that. Gillibrand's come out for that. Bernie Sanders has come out for that. Pretty much all of the candidates have come out for that. She was discussing the Green New Deal and all of this. Think about all of the policies and the proposals from these primary candidates. Higher taxes, excessive government spending. I mean, $100 trillion. That's the math. Where does this come from? You. Then you have the one guy who's like, by the way, no circumcision. He just throws that in there. And then you have, it is a cornucopia of insanity. And I've never been more tired talking about a primary than the Democrat primary for going into 2020, because all of these candidates are exactly the same. They're all the exact same in their extremism. They're trying to outwoke each other. And it's the craziest thing ever to see. Now, this, we're going to have more on this because Joe Biden is kind of looking, they think his popularity might actually nosedive. He may have missed his chance to have ever run. Gallup found that 56% of Americans had a favorable opinion of him. And this was probably about a month ago. They found that 56% had a favorable opinion of him. 32% viewed him unfavorably. Trump has a favorability of 44. This changes, the dynamic changes when someone announces that they're running for president. That changes the way that they are perceived by the public, and it has typically a negative impact on them polling wise. There's no one where that has ever been an exception. And so the thinking is that he has a high approval rating because he's not an active politician, because he is not an active candidate for office. And then once he does that, he's going to go into a very crowded Democrat field where he is going to have to jostle because he is up against a bunch of new socialist recruits that are taking over the party. And whether or not, depending on he's already bent the knee once, I think that could have a super negative impact for him. We'll see whether or not he's still looked as an elder statesman, but that would be very interesting to see. And I think you would probably get a really good idea within the first couple of months of him announcing his candidacy, looking at polling, whether or not he would actually survive that primary, because it's nothing is for certain. I think he's the last great hope that any moderates in that party have, but the socialists have all but won it. So coming up, Christopher Steele's former spy boss slammed the dossier is overrated. We got that for you. Devin Nunes sues Twitter and some users. He's seeking $250 million. He says there's an anti-conservative bias. I think it might be kind of a stunt, but I do think that we have to be careful in going after satire. And then this kind of ties into what Clarence Thomas was talking about with regards to the Sullivan ruling several weeks ago. Beto can't even formulate an answer on abortion. We have that for you. They're giving the terrorist from New Zealand what he wanted. The latest with regards to New Zealand. We have a bunch of other stuff in store. Florida man, today in stupidity. All of that good stuff as well. If you want to increase your energy, you can just check out Super Beets for all of your dietary nitrate needs. March is National Nutrition Month. Super Beets wants to get your cardiovascular system back into rhythm, and you can have a healthier relationship with nutrients and kickstart your heart health with Super Beets. I could sit here and read you the talking points, which are completely unhelpful in any of this. But the bottom line is that if you want increased energy, eat dietary nitrates. It helps the body kickstart production and improve the production of nitric oxide in the system. And that helps your arteries become wider and more flexible. And it also increases your stamina, increases your focus, etc. Super Beets includes naturally occurring nitrates, provides the nitric oxide equivalent of 3 whole beets. And it's gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, non-GMO, no added sugar, vegan, all of that stuff. And in ancient times, the root part was not used for cooking, but instead as a medicine for treating painful disorders. Apparently, that's a fun fact they wanted to share with you, like headaches and toothaches. So you can try it risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeets.com to get the special offer. You'll get a free 30-day supply of Super Beets with your first order at danasbeets.com. Free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeets.com or call 800-664-5617. March is National Nutrition Month, and Super Beets by Human wants to get your cardiovascular system back in rhythm. Did you know that the top health benefit that Americans want from their food or nutrients is cardiovascular health? But 38% feel confused about what to eat to achieve goals. Super Beets is a highly concentrated, scientifically formulated solution that supports healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. According to a recent announcement by the American Heart Association, 48% of Americans have some form of serious cardiovascular health issue, and 39% have unhealthy blood pressure. Super Beets helps boost your nitric oxide level, which is critical to healthy blood pressure levels and cardiovascular health. Try Super Beets risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeets.com to get this special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of Super Beets with your first order at danasbeets.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeets.com or call 800-664-5617 now and get your heart moving to Super Beets.
Listen live around the world
at danaradio.com.
I love this song. I was actually just listening to this album, Rapture, this morning. Susie and the Banshees, Stargazer. I just love this whole album. I'd rather like listen to the album than talk about Beto, that Irishman who's appropriating an ethnicity.
Me too.
All the stupidest stuff is coming out about this guy. It's just making my soul hurt. My soul's cringing. Soul Cringe. You know what? That's the horrible band name. But it would be perfect for a crappy alt-rock band from the 90s. Like Beto could be a part of it. Yeah. Let's go ahead and kick it, shall we? Let's get into
and
the headlines.
All of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm going to share with you some Beto stories later, apparently, that are being published because I have to read them for my work. And I'm not going to do all of this unless you're doing it with me. You got to be exposed to this, too. So I'm sharing it with you. All right. As we get moving on here. So this is fake news. The mayor of Bologna, Italy, like where the bolognese pasta and all of that crap comes from. Delicious stuff. The mayor of Bologna, Italy says spaghetti bolognese does not exist. Fake news. He says that it doesn't exist. He goes, he literally said that it is in fact, quote, fake news. Spaghetti bolognese does not exist, according to the mayor of Bologna, Italy. He says the meat-based sauce, Italians actually, it is called ragu, and it's rarely served with spaghetti, rubes. My whole world is shook, dude. Shook. Massively shook. New band name, Space Herpes. Sky News. NASA issues a space herpes warning as the virus reactivates in astronauts. What the hell were they doing with herpes in the first place, everyone asks. The stress on the body of spaceflight is believed to contribute to suppressing the immune system and helping the virus to go, Natch. But according to the agency, while only a small proportion of the astronauts develop symptoms, what, do they have the herpes? What, really? They've got, what? Do they got the herp? Is that what it is? And they go up into space with it? I don't know. They say that they endure weeks, months, blah, blah, blah. The point is that they have herpes, apparently. And then it, like, is made worse. So that they call it space herpes. Literal, actual thing NASA was talking about. A Major League Baseball star is going to ink the largest contract in sports history. ESPN says that it is the star center fielder Mike Trout, Los Angeles Angels. Y'all, it's a 12-year deal worth more than $430 million. Hi, USC. My son's a baseball star, and it's me. It me. I want to make money, too. And apparently, now humans with the sixth sense can detect Earth's magnet field, at least. This is what Science News is saying, according to a new study. Yeah, sure. Stay with us.
Follow along on Twitter, at DLash.
And Official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Question. I just want to make sure that I had clarity. Yesterday on abortion, you said it's a woman's right to choose. Correct?
Absolutely.
Does that include it up until the third trimester?
Listen, I think those decisions are best left to a woman and her doctor. I know better than to assume anything about a woman's decision, incredibly difficult decision when it comes to her reproductive rights.
Hmm. What the hell was that? By the way, that was like one of his, he was asked about this also at a, because there's two different, he doubled down on that. That was what he was asked about today. And he doubled down on it. And he was asked about it the night before. And I want you to listen to this audio. This is 13. This is at his, this is because he takes a narrative and he just is, he's pushing that. I want you to listen to the way in which the question's asked. And then I want you to listen to how he presents it to the audience that is there. Listen.
Are you for third trimester abortions, or are you going to protect the lives of third trimester babies? Because, you know, there's really not a medical necessity for abortion. It's not a medical emergency procedure, because typically third trimester abortions take up to 3 days to have. So you would, in that sense, if there was an emergency, the doctors would just do a C-section and you don't have to kill the baby in that essence. So are you for or against third trimester abortions?
So the question is about abortion and reproductive rights. And my answer to you is that that should be a decision that the woman makes.
Now, did you see how... Did you hear how he presented that? That wasn't what was stated. She was specifically talking about how this was...
Well, third trimester.
Yeah, exactly. Like third trimester, etc. I mean, she was talking about how this was not a... It's not... It is a health issue that you're not going to go and have a several day abortion over. You're going to do a C-section. And then he completely ignored that and reframed it as completely something else. Entirely something else. Anyway, I have to share this with you because this just came out. This is what CNN Communications just tweeted. CNN's Parkland Town Hall has been honored with a Cronkite Award. Congrats to Jake Tapper and the team who helped advance the national conversation on gun control and violence. Can you play the audio where the audience was screaming, burn her? Because this is from that town hall. Listen. They were screaming, burn her, burn the witch. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Really crazy stuff. And they've basically given themselves an award for that. Unbelievable, because they said that they advanced the conversation of gun control. How did they advance the conversation? Anybody have any idea? How did they advance the conversation? I'm really curious as to how they did that. I mean, how did they do that? Anybody have any ideas? That's one of the most unbelievable things ever that I have ever seen in my life. You had a network that wanted to hang me publicly, and they did everything possible. CNN, the network, did everything possible to make it as dangerous as possible. And they are giving themselves an award for it. By the way, if you want to look at me, my Twitter account, I have tons of different video up there where you can go and you can actually see it. Where they did so much to, you know, advance the conversation on gun control. I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. Look, play some of that other stuff. It's on my Twitter account. You can play some of the other stuff on there. They gave themselves a Cronkite Award for this, guys. They just announced it. They gave themselves a Cronkite Award for this. You can go to @DLash.
Shame on you! 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 Shame on you!
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
That advanced the conversation?
How did that advance the conversation? I would love to know how that advanced the conversation.
A mob screaming shame on you is advancing the conversation.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, I don't know how it did, but it did. I mean, it is one of, I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, listen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They hosted, that happened, that all happened when the cameras turned off at their award-winning town hall where they hosted award-winning conversation. And they're proud of it. They're proud of it. They are absolutely proud of it. Just so you know. They're proud that people were treated that way, and they are giving themselves awards over it. This is why they're fake news. It's absolutely why they're fake news. So, it was bad when the cameras were on. When the cameras were off, there was a woman who charged the stage and took her, she was going to get me. I had a 3-person detail. One of the members of my detail had to grab her and restrain her because she would have hit me from behind. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. And so they used me as a scapegoat. And they for the sheriff, all of that. And they have the audacity to give themselves an award. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Yeah, listen.
Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on you!
Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame
I'm amazed at this. Thoughts, Kane? Thoughts? Do you have any? Because there's tons more of this video. I have a lot more.
Well, I just remember that night. I remember being, I think we were at CPAC. And I remember that this was, thinking that this was just a giant ratings grab at the time. Because literally, I don't think they cared about the divisiveness that they were actually sowing. They cared more about the ratings at a time where a hot button issue was, you know, essentially coming to head.
Mm-hmm.
And they were wanting to take advantage of that for ratings purposes. So maybe that's what the Walter Cronkite Award means. They advance their ratings in spite of divisiveness.
Yeah. So, and I just tweeted a bunch of video out there too, so you can go and see. Because this is, they are celebrating themselves for a lynching. That's what the CNN town hall was. It was a lynching. And they wanted someone to hoist up. And they wanted that to be me. They wanted it to be Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio stood on stage and started caving. And they had it set up to where it was as unbelievably as hostile as possible. They had no security measures really in place at all. And it's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I don't know in what way they advanced any kind of conversation, but that's pretty unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that. We got more to come. We have 2 other hours on the way. We got more 2020 stuff. I'm not even done with this. I am not even done with. Do I also get the award? Best lynching on a town hall? Do I get that award? Best lynching for a town hall?
Best survivor of a lynching.
Yeah, exactly. So we got a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere. Kel-Tec is one of my favorite products. It's a great company. I really like working with them. And they are driven by creativity. They don't copy stuff. They innovate new things. They switch it up and make it fun to go to the range. It's a true family culture. And they have several new things out, particularly the CP33 22LR competition pistol, 33 rounds in each magazine. They have two actual magazines that they send out for you. So you have 66 standard rounds right coming from the factory. And it is a very smooth single-action four-pound trigger pull. And they have the CP33 has an ambidextrous operating handle as well. So there's the magazine catch and the safety for the lefties and the righties. Aluminum Picatinny style rail from sight to sight. You can mount some optics. You got a lighting slot below the barrel as well. All kinds of stuff. This makes range day fun. Check it out at KeltecWeapons.com. KELTEC weapons.com.
Broadcasting from the Lone Star State to your town.
The Dana Show.
There is nothing, the president has no responsibility if a fanatic mentions him in a manifesto. A fanatic could equally mention me. So I don't think that that's his responsibility. But yes, I would like to see President Trump condemn all forms of lethal bigotry. That's very important. And one thing the viewers should know, this president and this administration is often castigated as Islamophobic. But I move in the Muslim world, in Egypt, in Oman, in Jordan, in Iraqi Kurdistan, where this president is beloved. This president and the Republican Party, going back to George Bush, is very dearly held. Today is the anniversary of Halabja, the massacre of 180,000 Kurds at the hands of Saddam Hussein. That only changed because of a Republican president. So it's very important not to lose so much perspective that we start believing our entire government is Islamophobic. That's not the case.
Yeah, that was one of the answers that a guest gave to a CNN host, and they didn't really know how to handle that. No, they didn't at all. They didn't know how to handle it. Not at all.
Trump, though.
Yeah, but it's Trump. So right before we went to break, it literally just came out. CNN announced that they won a Cronkite Award for their Parkland Town Hall, which they said advanced the conversation of gun control. And being that I was there on stage and I didn't see an advancement of a conversation, I saw a network that wanted to use me as a lynchee. And I don't know if I get a part of this. Do I get an award for being for CNN trying to lynch me? Because that's how that worked. I mean, I'm just wondering if I share into that award, because you wouldn't have been able to have that explosive town hall with all of the ratings had you not had me there to try to crucify me. So I'm just curious as if I'm to share in this as well, because it was theater. Absolutely. I mean, it is one of the most unbelievable things that I have ever seen. They allowed people to electioneer before the town hall began. And they had me enter to a Black Eyed Peas song, and like it was WWE. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life. And they purposely set it up to be.
And don't forget, Broward Sheriff was out there ginning up the crowd before the thing even started. Like, I mean, he was out there already setting the tone for how those kids should react to anybody that has an opinion outside of his.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. They allowed the sheriff, they allowed Scott Israel to go out there and to take the stage, to blame gun owners, to, you know, go on and on and on. And I mean, it's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And they had it set up like a WWE event. And they tried to wring every bit of emotion and get it going as much as possible before the cameras even started. And so that when we went out there, it would just be mass emotional explosion. That's what they wanted. And that's what they got, because that's why they wanted the ratings. They love the ratings of it. Everything I said the next day when I spoke in DC at CPAC was 1,000% correct. It was 1,000% correct. It wasn't a serious conversation. It didn't do anything to advance anything. Not a thing. This is why I was so mad at media the next day. I was absolutely righteous in my indignation. Every word I said about how the media does this is 1,000% correct. And this proves it. The fact that they're celebrating this proves it. That is, it was shameful what they did. Absolutely shameful. They had Scott Israel, electioneer on stage. He was already, before the cameras were on, he was blaming gun owners. I stood backstage and watched. So, yeah, we're it's unbelievable. And I want to see if Jake Tapper has anything to say about this or if he's going to be a good company man. I'm going to see if he's going to be a good company man or if he's going to have the principle and the integrity to say, yeah, this was ridiculous. Because it was a sham and it was a shame. And CNN raked in ad money on this. They got a ratings boost from it. Just unbelievable. We have a second hour on the way. We're also going to be bringing you the president's press conference. He's giving with Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro from the White House garden, White House Rose Garden. So we're going to have that for you as well here coming up. And a lot more in store. We have Florida man on the way. In New Zealand, they're giving the terrorist what he wanted. We've got that for you as well. Cortez says crazy crap. Polls tank, must be Fox's fault. And then Bernie Sanders says the reason that people can't support socialism the way he wants them to is because nobody has explained it as well as he has before. And he's getting ready to explain it really well, he says. I'm not making this up. Oh, and then some court action punishing Christians for being Christian and running a bed and breakfast in Hawaii. We've got all of that and a lot more. More of the Dana Show coming up next. Stay with us.
It's only March and progressives have done nothing this year but cause chaos. Cuomo, Ocasio-Cortez, Kamala Harris, all promoting infanticide, running businesses out of New York, and so much more. I have a question for you. Are you funding their progressive agenda? Major corporations where you shop every day are using their buying power to steer America towards a socialist economy. If your cell phone plan is with AT&T or Verizon, your money is supporting progressive candidates. The ACLU, Unidos US, and Planned Parenthood. You can support your own values by switching to Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile offers the same reliable nationwide coverage you already have, plus they take a portion of their proceeds and support conservative organizations like the Heritage Foundation, the Susan B. Anthony List, and more. Patriot Mobile has unlimited talk and text plans starting as low as $20 a month. It's easy to switch. Call 1-800-A-PATRIOT and mention Dana or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana and they'll waive up to 2 activation fees. Join me and switch to Patriot Mobile today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana.
So right now the president is in the Rose Garden with Jair Bolsonaro, who is the president of Brazil. They're having a joint press conference and they're discussing cooperation. This is between the United States and Brazil. This is a pretty amazing thing that is taking place. The relationship between these two particular countries, especially considering everything that's been happening in Venezuela as well, and how you have South America that has really completely just they've turned on Maduro and all of the big powers that backed Maduro as well. So they're talking about drug trafficking and organized crime. And here shortly, we are going to take that and bring you that press conference as well. In the meantime, this a number of things to get in here because it's already been a crazy day. So we have 2020, which is kicking in full circle. Devin Nunes is suing Twitter and some users over $250 million, alleging an anti-conservative shadow bans, etc. He's going after Twitter because there were a couple of satire accounts that were created, and one of them was called Devin Nunez's Cow, and the other was Devin Nunez's Mom. And you got to be real careful in going after satire. I don't think, unless you can make the argument that people really knew that, you know, That was those two entities tweeting. I don't think that that is, you know. So the president of Brazil and our president of the United States are taking questions right now. We're going to go to this press conference that is in the Rose Garden. And because there's some very important stuff that we've addressed on this program that they are hitting at this presser that we are going to now.
At some point, I would imagine things will change. But we really haven't done the really tough sanctions yet. We can do the tough sanctions and all options are open. So we may be doing that. But we haven't done the toughest of sanctions, as you know. We've done, I would say, right down the middle. But we can go a lot tougher if we need to do that. But it's a very sad thing. We're not looking for anything other than taking care of a lot of people that are starving and dying in the streets. What's happening there is a disgrace. This was one of the wealthiest countries in the world. And all of a sudden, it's it's grief-stricken, poverty-stricken, no food, no water, no air conditioning, no anything, no power. For a long time last week, no power. And that's going to break down again because it's being held together by threads. So it's very sad, Roberta, very sad to see. Okay.
May I ask President Bolsonaro? President Bolsonaro, are you open to the idea of allowing a U.S. base or U.S. military personnel, a military presence in Brazil to provide support on the border with Venezuela? And is that something that you talked about with President Trump today?
Yeah, we have discussed the possibility of Brazil becoming a great allied extra NATO. Recently, we requested that food was sent through Boa Vista, the capital of Roraima State, through our friends from America, so that humanitarian aid was provided to Venezuela. At this point in time, this is where we stand. So for as much as it possible for us to do together to sort out the issue of the Venezuelan dictatorship, Brazil will be more than willing and ready to fulfill this mission and take freedom and democracy to that country, which up until recently was one of the wealthiest countries in South America. But nowadays, people are starving to death. They are suffering violence, lack of medication. It's something terrible that's going on in there. And we need to put an end to this issue, which is pervasive to the whole wide world.
Mr. President, yes.
Boa tarde, presidente. Simone Iglesias da Bloomberg. Eu gostaria de
Hello, Simone Iglesias from Bloomberg. I would like to know if the U.S. actually have a military intervention in Venezuela, what's the position of Brazil? Well, there are a few issues that if you speak, they're no longer strategic. Therefore, these reserved issues, which may be discussed if they have not yet, will not become public. Evidently, I remember on a debate here in the United States when a candidate asked another candidate what he would do to fight the Islamic State. He said, if I say, I will no longer be able to beat it. So it's a matter of strategy. For everything that we discussed here will be honored. But unfortunately, certain pieces of information, if are to come to the table, may not be debated publicly. President Trump, regarding the military intervention, do you think about this possibility of fighting Venezuela to remove Maduro from power?
So, as I said, all options are open. I think of all possibilities, all options are open. We'll see what happens. And by the way, I see in the audience the son of the president, who has been fantastic. Would you please stand up? The job you've done during a very tough period of time is just fantastic. And I know your father appreciates it, that I can tell you. Okay, thank you very much. Fantastic job. Sagar Njeti from Daily Caller. Sagar.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you. Two questions for you, sir, if I may. The first on the 2020 election. There's a growing number of Democratic candidates who have endorsed the idea of adding seats to the Supreme Court. Is that an idea that you would entertain in the remainder of your term or possible next term, or is that not something that you agree with?
No, I wouldn't entertain that. The only reason is that they're doing that is they want to try and catch up. So if they can't catch up through the ballot box by winning an election, they want to try doing it in a different way. Now, we would have no interest in that whatsoever. It'll never happen. It won't happen. I guarantee you, it won't happen for 6 years.
Another question for you on social media. You tweeted in support of Congressman Nunez's suit against Twitter. There's part of a larger discussion that Senator Josh Hawley's been leading about making social media companies liable for the content that is on their platform, which they're not currently. Is that an idea or a change in law that you would support?
Well, we have to do something. I tell you, I have many, many millions of followers on Twitter, and it's different than it used to be. Things are happening. Names are taken off. People aren't getting through. You've heard the same complaints. And it seems to be if they're conservative, if they're Republicans, if they're in a certain group, there's discrimination and big discrimination. I see it absolutely on Twitter and Facebook, which I have also, and others I see, but I've really focused more on the one platform. And I have many different platforms. It's, I guess we have 60 million, almost 60 million on Twitter. And if you add them all up, it's way over 100 million people. And I get to see firsthand what's going on, and it's not good. And we use the word collusion very loosely all the time. And I will tell you, there is collusion with respect to that, because something has to be going on. And when you get the back office statements made by executives of the various companies, and you see the level of, in many cases, hatred they have for a certain group of people that happen to be in power, that happen to have won the election, you say that's really unfair. So something's happening with those groups of folks that are running Facebook and Google and Twitter. And I do think we have to get to the bottom of it. It's very fair. It's collusive, and it's very, very fair to say that we have to do something about it. And if we don't, you know, the incredible thing is that we can win an election and we have such a stacked deck. And that includes networks, frankly. You look at the networks, you look at the news, you look at the newscasts. I call it fake news. I'm very proud to hear the president use the term fake news. But you look at what's happening with the networks, you look at what's happening with different shows, and it's hard to believe we win. But, you know, I'll tell you what it really shows. The people are smart. The people get it. They'll go through all of that, whatever it is they're fed, and in the end, they pull the right lever. It's a very, very dangerous situation. So I think I agree. I think something has to be looked at very closely.
Thank you, sir. President Bolsonaro, and another question on the 2020 election. If a number of the Democrats who are running to replace the president have embraced or have considered socialist ideas, you've spoken critically of that in the past. If a socialist or a candidate who embraced socialism were to replace the president, how would it affect your relations with the United States?
Well, it's an internal affair. We will respect whatever the ballots tell us on 2020, but I do believe Donald Trump is going to be reelected fully. Yeah, this was the same what happened to me. I think everyone will repeat their vote here in America. So every day more and more people that are prone to socialism and even communism slowly are going to be opening their minds to the reality. And you can see the border with Venezuela and Brazil was recently closed, not for Brazilians which are pro-socialism to go into Venezuela, but the other way around, so that Venezuelans who support democracy wouldn't go into Brazil. This feeling most certainly is going to be very much seen when 2020 comes.
Mr. President, thank you very much.
Sorry.
Go ahead. You want to go? Look like a very nice person. Go ahead. Watch. Here, this will be the killer of all time. Watch.
Thank you, Mr. President. Beatriz Bula from Estadão. The USTR is not supporting the entry of Brazil in the OECD. Is the U.S. government going to formally support Brazil's entry on the OECD? And what have you asked as a trade-off?
We will be supporting. We're going to have a great relationship in so many different ways. That's just a just something that we're going to be doing in honor of the president and in honor of Brazil. We will be asking for things, but not necessarily having to do with that. I think we're just going to have a very fair relationship. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
And President Bolsonaro.
Thank you.
President Bolsonaro, os Estados Unidos esperam a diminuição da influência da China no Brasil.
Does the United States expect the influence of China into Brazil? Yesterday, Paulo Guedes mentioned that it's going to incentivize relations with China. How does the U.S. see that? And what you said about President Trump, about the Chinese in Brazil?
Well, like I said, Brazil is going to keep on making as much business with as many countries as possible. No longer businesses are going to be found into the ideology as it used to be. We are also following this objective for the good of our peoples.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, and thank you, everybody. Thank you very much.
President of the United States in the Rose Garden with Jair Bolsonaro, the president of Brazil. But coming together, convergence there. We have more in store as we get going. Blink motion activated security cameras. It's a great additional layer of security for your home. You should check it out because they don't just have to be watching for packages or just, you know, watching doorways or anything like that. You can have them wherever you want an extra set of eyes. They're wireless, so you don't have to rely upon outlets all the time, right? And you can get 20% off all Blink Outdoor XT camera systems. The sale ends March 16th at midnight Eastern. Just visit blinkprotect.com/sale in order to take advantage of that March 16th midnight Eastern deadline for the Blink Outdoor XT camera system, where you can get 20% off. They have that live feed option. You can monitor your home. You can check in on kids and pets from anywhere you have your Blink smartphone app. No contracts, no subscriptions, totally affordable. And they set up in minutes and run on lithium batteries that last for up to 2 years. So check it out right now. Take advantage up till March 16th, 20% off all Blink Outdoor XT camera systems. blinkprotect.com/sale. That's blinkprotect.com/sale. Blink is an Amazon company and works with Alexa.
Spanning coast to coast and all over Flyover Nation.
The Dana Show.
So, you know, I'll tell you what worries me about doing this through gas tax. I'm open to the conversation, but what worries me is it falls hardest on working people. When I talk about raising taxes, what I really want to see is I want to see an ultra-millionaire's tax. I want to see taxes on the top. And then let's use that to help subsidize what it is that we really want to see, cleaner vehicles. That's the direction I'd much rather see us go. I want to get us there, but I want to do it the other way. It is building a future for work in China. We need to step up our investment in infrastructure right here in the United States of America. That's how we build a future. And I'll add one little piece to it and say, when you take a look at the Green New Deal, understand this is about building the infrastructure for the 21st century, for a sustainable world.
Yeah, no, so ridiculous. Let's kick it into some headlines, shall we?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right here. So, moving on down the line. Iran is apparently building two nuclear plants. I'm so glad we gave them an epic butt ton of money under the last administration. It was so great. I'm so glad that we wasted all of our taxpayer dollars by paying this magical unicorn oogie boogie moolah theocracy that hates us and calls us the great Satan. I'm so glad that we gave them all so much money to sit here and grease the joint so they can continue building nuke plants. Yay, Obama! Moving on down the line. This was a crazy story. So ABC said apparently one of the ex-Putin advisors who died in the U.S. had a broken neck. They think that this guy was probably, he was a spy that was taken out by Russia right down the street from the White House. And everyone, including the Obama administration and everyone else, lied to us all about it for years as a part of a cover-up. Oh, but wait a minute. I thought everybody realized, I think everybody thought that they could probably trust the former president, etc.
No scandals?
Yeah, no scandals. Moving on down the line, Representative Ilhan Omar's constituents are unhappy with her rhetoric and they're not being quiet about it because she says crazy, backcrap, bigoted, anti-Semitic things. And it's pretty unbelievable the stuff that she said. And now people within her own district are completely unhappy with her over it. And that is also fueling part of the talk for why there is a need to primary her. Washington Examiner says a second top Gillibrand aide quit over sexual harassment, but Kirsten Gillibrand, ever the female empowerment warrior, decided to keep that individual on staff. Mark Broomer, 32, the New York Democrats communication director, resigned from her staff in spring 2017 after apparently harassing a junior woman who worked as a scheduler, but he continued to be paid and was kept on staff. Yeah, because what are her principles? And apparently, according to New York Post, they say that they are going to, there's a lawmaker who introduced a bill to ban the sale of fur coats in New York. They said it's anti-fur legislation. I love animals. I think that if animals get old and you want to wear their fur, that's fine. Stop telling me what I can and can't do and what I can and can't wear. Seriously, just step off. I'm not doing it. We got a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere.
The Dana Show is now available on demand. Subscribe on iTunes and get full episodes delivered right to your phone.
Amazon was going to go into Brooklyn and maybe create tens of thousands of jobs. Local politicians, activists basically discouraged it from doing that. Where would you have been on that one?
I was trying to get Amazon to come to Newark, New Jersey.
Okay, you would support that now?
Absolutely. Bring Amazon to Newark and do it on our terms. Because we had a very good conversation with them about how we would do it to make sure.
So New York, you think was wrong to run them out?
I think that I would not have supported running them out if I...
Yeah, well, he's breaking a little bit with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So he's breaking just a little bit with her on that. So, yeah, that's, there you have it. Well, and that's because they needed, I mean, those are jobs that are lost. I play that because there's one of the things that I wanted to go into was this, we touched upon it as a headline yesterday. So Cortez was livid because people on Fox and other people were talking about her. And she says that because people were noting correctly that her favorability rating is tanking. She was named the top villain in the Amazon Headquarter 2 pullout. Like, she was named the top villain. People are livid at her. People who are actually in her area, her voting area, her voters are mad at her because of this. And so... They even broke it down when they were asked, let's see, it was a Siena poll, and it was asked about whether her villain designation, and asked if she was a hero or villain in Amazon's pullout. New Yorkers split. And then when they asked about local activists in Queens, it was split even more. So they blame the activists too, but they also blame her quite a bit. I mean, her unfavorability, she's like at the bottom. She barely ranks above Bill de Blasio right now. So you had the New York State Assembly that ranks higher than her in terms of favorability. She's only a couple in New York. She's only a couple of points above Donald Trump in favorability right now. And this is according to the Siena College poll taken March 18th, 2019. And it was a lot of independents, too, that are really driving this. She is absolutely poisonous to anybody who is not a socialist. And so she was livid because there has been a lot of discussion. That's a huge deal in her borough, in her particular district. That's a huge deal. And so there's been a lot of discussion about it, and it's really tanked her polls. She's blaming the decrease in her favorability on Fox News. I'm not even kidding. Because how many, so first off, let's just stop and unpack this. Even if, let's just play devil's advocate and entertain the idea. So she says that her favorability has decreased because of Fox News coverage. Keep in mind that a small group of about 15,000 socialists elected her in New York. Do you think those people are Fox News viewers? And those people who I would imagine, since they voted for her, are completely ideologically opposite of what is showcased and discussed and represented and usually tended towards trending in terms of support on Fox News. Do you think that those individuals who are not Fox News watchers and don't agree with Fox News and don't agree with the people on Fox News and voted for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, do you think that they're actually going to be persuaded by something that they saw on Fox News? No. Do you see how asinine this is? How in the world is that their problem? No, the problem is that she actually burned people in her own area. That's the problem. Good heavens. It makes zero, zero sense. So, I don't know. It is just amazing to me to see that was the big, and she was saying, and then the news spin was that, well, it actually is kind of sexist. the way that, and bigoted, the way that they are, that they're approaching me about this, which doesn't make any sense to me either, because that has nothing to do with sex and or ethnicity or anything else. You literally opposed something because you don't understand how tax incremental financing works. And a lot of, and frankly, some conservatives don't either. And there are some people in St. Louis, Missouri who don't understand it, which of course is why their activism is completely not even registering on any sort of national or local level anymore. But there are people who don't they are so financially illiterate, it's terrifying. And she doesn't understand how tax credits work. It's not like there was $3 billion laying around that they were going to give Amazon. You were talking about taking something off of revenue that is now not coming in, and the revenue was going to be quadrillion-drupled more than the tax credit that Amazon was going to get. And aside, we can have a conversation six ways to Sunday about whether or not there should be certain incentives for certain companies. But as long as we have this particular tax structure, this is the way it is, because people believe they support tax, they support theft through tax. So this is what you got to deal with. And so she ended up screwing the pooch on this herself. This had nothing to do with Fox News. I remember when I was driving up to Yale to speak at Yale, and I had to go through LaGuardia, and I drove through AOC's neighborhood, and I had a driver who was from AOC's neighborhood, and he was like, I was one of the people that did not vote for her. And he was saying over and over again how so upset people in her particular area, her district, were, because these jobs were going to directly affect them. That is why her poll numbers are tanking, not because someone on Fox and Friends said that, oh, well, I don't agree with what she said today. I mean, let's be realistic and employ some of the brain cells that God has so graciously given us, shall we? Now, speaking of this, she was apparently, her and her top aide were removed from the Board of Justice Democrats PAC. Now, this is something that's kind of interesting. Remember all the PACs that they had going on? So she and her top aide are no longer board members of the outside PAC credited with orchestrating her political rise. They've been removed. And she never actually disclosed that she and her aide were enrolled in it while she was also running her primary campaign, which could be a big time, you know, I mean, the way that the law is now, it could be a big time no-no. And she could get in trouble. She could if justice was blind, but justice isn't blind. It's a joke. Just so you know, it's just a complete and total joke. Now, as it goes into Bernie Sanders had a discussion with himself where he was saying that no one asked him this, but he just decided to volunteer it. He was defending the virtues, if you want to just abuse that word horrifically, of socialism. And he says that he's going to do a better job explaining what we mean by socialism, Democrat socialism. So I saw this great meme that was illustrating the difference between socialism and Democrat socialism. And it showed a bunch of, you know, from socialist, it showed the National Socialists in Germany pointing guns to the back of disarmed, disenfranchised individuals' heads before they were getting ready to dump them in the trench. And that was socialism. And then the difference between that and Democrat socialism is that there were some rainbow emojis and a bow that was tied as an emoji on the rifle. That's the difference between Democrat socialism is like lipstick on the proverbial pig. Saying Democrat socialism is like putting a Lisa Frank sticker on a folder. Democrat socialism is just using like verbiage and wordage and just trying to dress up something stupidly. That if you really want to showcase to people that you have no idea about the differences of different government structures and different economic forms of distribution, use phrases like Democrat socialism or democratic socialism, because that is a great way to clue everyone in that you don't know what you're talking about. And anyone who says otherwise, they don't really know what they're talking about, and you have my full permission to completely ridicule them, because ridicule is a powerful thing and some people need to be brought shame. So with that, he was talking on New Hampshire Public Radio and he was trying to somehow make socialism better by adding democratic to it, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And he says, and this is a direct quote, there is an audio, but I have the transcript here. It says, he says, quote, I think what we have to do, and I will be doing it, is to do a better job maybe in explaining what we mean by socialism, democratic socialism. Obviously, my right-wing colleagues here want to paint that as authoritarianism and communism in Venezuela, and that's nonsense. What I mean by democratic socialism is that I want a vibrant democracy. I find it interesting that people who criticize me are busy actively involved in voter suppression, trying to keep, what the hell is this? Trying to keep people of color or low income people from voting because they don't want a vibrant democracy. I do. Okay, let's stop here. Let's unpack Grandpa Simpson's bag of crazy. Okay, so he says that democratic socialism is people of color voting. That's what he just said. That's what he said. So according to Bernie Sanders, democratic socialism is vibrantly colored people voting. That's his words. Okay. So the difference between so that's what happened in Germany, in Nazi Germany with the National Socialists. There were, because that was kind of really pretty amazing, right? I mean, I just wonder. I don't think that you fully appreciate how bat crap crazy what he just said is. Oh, it's crazy. No. He says that it's democratic socialism. His actual, what I mean by democratic socialism is I want a vibrant democracy. Now, he never actually defines vibrant democracy. And then he says, I find it interesting that the people who criticize me are busy actively involved in voter suppression. Where did that come from? Where did that come from? Out of the blue. He's just going to put it in there.
Is it possible for somebody to criticize him that has nothing to do
with
voter
suppression?
Can he not
stay on like one straight point of thought?
I don't think so.
Okay, so now, and he goes, well, they don't want color, people of color or low income people from voting. I do. Oh my gosh. And then he goes, and then he expands. So here's the second part. He goes, second of all, this is Bernie Sanders still, is that in the wealthiest country in the history of the world, we can provide a decent standard of living for all about people. That's just the reality. It's a reality. Healthcare for all can be done, and we can save money in doing it. How? We can have a minimum wage, which is a living wage. How? Oh my gosh. And then he goes, the House of Representatives is going to do it. We've got to do that. Like, he never says anything. It's all red meat, stupid stuff. That's like me saying, you know what? I think we need to have vending machines everywhere. I would like to have a vending machine, nothing of just mango mochi at every street corner in the town in which I live, because it's so unbelievably delicious. Anytime that I want just a little dollop of mango mochi, I can go and get one out of that vending machine. The House of Representatives is going to do it. It's going to do it. And you know what? The people who criticize me don't want people of color and low-income people voting, because they don't. It is the thing that they do with the stuff, and it's not great. Yeah. Are we not sure that he is not just coming out of like some, I don't know, what do they call them? Respite homes?
Oh, I thought you were going to say cocoon.
No, well, or that. Are we not sure that he is not just a mental patient that just walked off and traded his gown for somebody else's clothes? Have we actually confirmed that? Because I'm not sure that that's been settled. Yeah. More in store. Oh, I know. Because I got some other crazy stuff for you. Those are the two brain trusts, by the way. We have that. And we also have Florida Man on the way. And some bias with tech. And how they're giving the terrorist what he wanted in New Zealand. We got all of that and a lot more for you in store. In the meantime, as we get going, hopefully now this one will have the correct date on it. CarShield is a great program that you should definitely check out if you want extended vehicle protection. Think about how expensive it is to fix just even small things on vehicles anymore, which is why you really need to check out CarShield. They make the process of fixing your car for a covered repair very easy. You can have your favorite mechanic or the dealership to do the work. It's your choice. They provide 24/7 roadside assistance, and you get a rental car while yours is being fixed for free. So if your car has 5,000 to 150,000 miles, it doesn't mean you have to pay high repair bills. Their administrators have paid out close to $2 billion in claims. They're ready to help you. Save yourself thousands in future car repairs and get covered by the ultimate and extended vehicle protection. Call their new toll-free number at 800-CAR-6000 and mention code Dana, or visit carshield.com and use code Dana to save 10%. That's carshield.com, code Dana, the new toll-free number, 800-CAR-6000. A deductible may apply.
It's the Dana Show.
At D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. That's one of the most unbelievable things, that CNN is celebrating itself for receiving a Cronkite Award, air quotes, a sham of an award for what they say is that Parkland Town Hall. They say that they advanced the conversation on gun control. And I'm like, by having people on video screaming to burn me and a bunch of other things. And there's a ton of other video that I have that I haven't even posted up yet. That's just some of it. And it is amazing. They set that up as a public lynching. They set it up to exploit pain and to rear as much emotional explosiveness out of it as they could, because they wanted the ratings. They wanted to be able to say that they had something, and this is what they ran with. And they had me enter the arena to the Black Eyed Peas song, Let's Get It Started. They had it set up like a WWE event. They had Scott Israel. They were running defense hardcore for Scott Israel. They had him go out on stage and blame the, quote, NRA lady, end quote. That's what he said of me before the cameras even turned on. It was an absolute blank show. It absolutely was. It was one of the most, it's the most embarrassing thing I think that the network has ever aired. And the fact that they think that this amounts to good journalism shows you how far journalism and people's perception of it has fallen. Let's kick it into some Florida Man.
It's time for Florida Person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
Yeah, just unbelievable. Just, you know, still to this day. All right, moving on here. If I can get anything to pull up, because nothing is wanting to work correctly today. Let's see here. So, as we get... So, a Florida man was arrested and accused of throwing pancake batter at a woman, apparently. This is WTSP. A 45-year-old Florida man is accused of throwing a bowl of pancake batter at a woman who was making dinner. He was drunk on Friday night, Dwayne Zimmerman. Is anyone surprised that he was drunk on Friday night? And he went onto the porch of the home where the woman was making pancakes. Apparently, she told Hernando County Sheriff's deputies that he insulted her, then threw a cooking pan before picking the bowl of batter up and tossing that at her. It missed her, but apparently he threw it with enough force to break it, and they had to call the police because they're grown children who can't handle their disagreements over whatever the hell it was that they were arguing about in the first place. Yeah, I can't even share this story, and I can share this one. This one is hysterical. Okay, I'm going to read it. Yeah, it's T.C. Palm, so it's going to be bad. It's Will Greenlee. So here's the headline. Why are sweatpants strings flying in the air? The next time you're in the Social Security office in Port St. Lucie, take note of sweatpants strings flying in the air. James Terrell Williams, 30, was arrested March 5th after accusations he was pleasuring himself in plain view of a federal employee that was assisting him with a disability claim, according to an affidavit. The case began when deputies went to the government facility and told after they were told about a man identified as Williams at window number 4 in a neighboring hallway. He was said to be having some personal time near a federal worker helping him with a disability claim. It is uncommon for people to pleasure themselves near federal workers helping them with disability claims. A woman identified as the victim said she saw, quote, strings to his sweatpants flying in the air, end quote, according to the affidavit. She stood up and reported getting a clear view of the situation, which, according to the affidavit, left absolutely, positively, 100% nothing at all to the imagination. Investigators said at the time Williams was out on bond from St. Lucie County Jail. He was listed as homeless, was arrested on charges of indecent exposure in public, disorderly conduct, and taken back to jail. It's unclear whether or not his disability claim was went fulfilled. And a claw machine was stolen from Walmart. Authorities are asking for the public's help in locating three Florida men who stole a claw machine from the lobby of Walmart on US 1. They took it on March 12th. The store's assistant manager said they were there to pick up the arcade-style machine for repairs, and they just stole it. An employee of the company that actually maintained the machine said, don't do that. And they said subjects are not employees of the company that maintain the machine. So yeah, they stole it. They also loaded it into an older white Ford F-150 pickup truck, which apparently is not how the company that maintains the machines actually deals with maintaining the machine. So the sheriff's office is investigating. If you know anything about the stolen claw machine, which I'm sure is never going to be recovered, you can let authorities know in that particular area. Yeah, just think, if it doesn't look profesh, it's probably not. You know what I mean? Just listen to that gut instinct. A lot more in store, third hour next.
And that is not what we're seeing from this president today. What he has done on the border is inhumane and intolerable. He is separating families, children from parents, mothers from babies, and locking up people in facilities that are run by for-profit prison companies. What? It's an outrage. I would get rid of all of that. That should not be under ICE. It should not be under Homeland Security. Immigration is not a security issue. It is an economic and a humanitarian and a family issue.
I just can't take seriously someone who can't hide their bra straps in a sleeveless shirt. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, the world's most low-key jerk hole today. And welcome to my program where I can do whatever I want, and I'm in Dallas, so you can't get me. Are you okay over there? You just about choked to death.
Well, when you said low-key, 'cause I'm like, So it's like, is it really low key though?
It's Jerk Day. Did you know it's National Jerk Day? Oh, it is.
Celebrate.
It is. So I want to start with this, and I want to go into, I got to segue into something else. So how is it not a security issue, especially considering 9/11 began as an immigration issue? 9/11 was an immigration issue. Interior enforcement fell apart because there was expired visas, and it was just a hot mess. So how is that not a security issue? Because it's not. That doesn't answer the, it's not. That's not right. Do you ever feel like the stuff you're hearing is so stupid, it just makes you shut down?
Yes.
Do you feel like that?
Daily.
I feel like that. Every time she talks, I definitely feel like that. She just went out there completely unprepared. She's not going to go anywhere in this primary. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. But it is a security issue. Oh my gosh. How could you say otherwise? It makes zero sense that you would, that doesn't make any sense. It is a security issue. You know, the other thing is where it concerns the, there's a couple of things here that I wanted to hit on. Because she, yesterday we had the soundbite of her talking about gun control and everything else. So the CBS Evening News was talking about how the New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern is vowing to rein in social media platforms in a speech she gave to Parliament today. She says they cannot be a case of all profit, no responsibility, she says. She says the terror attack on two Christchurch mosques was live streamed online by the alleged attacker. This is exactly, by the way, what the terrorist wanted. They're giving him exactly what he wanted. He literally wrote this in his manifesto, and he wanted them to react to this, and so they're just doing it. Curbing free speech, curbing rights of self-defense. That's the problem. This is exactly what he wanted to do, and what he wanted, the way that in which he wanted them to act. And they're going right in line with it. One of the other things that I've noticed, especially when people are talking about New Zealand and the United States, people have a horrible failure to recognize that these are two completely different countries that have two completely different sets of laws and a constitution and an inalienable right of self-defense and all of this stuff. But I would be, and I have you noticed that we haven't really heard anything with regards to what the immigration practices and policies are of New Zealand? This guy came in from Australia, and he apparently was able to go to Pakistan and go to all of these other places, which I would imagine if you're watching where it is that he goes, you would see that would come up. And I know that at least in the United States, if this guy had been going to Pakistan and then tried to even temporarily visit the United States, that's something that would be looked into and investigated. And I'm not quite sure why. I don't know if that was the case or was not the case here, but my question is why has that not come up as a legitimate form of questioning? How did someone who is not a New Zealander, how was he able to go in with all of the licensing and all of the restrictions and all of the regulations and able to get a license to buy a firearm and go through the interview process? That would mean that there are laws that they have that they want to enact here don't work. I mean, literally, you had a terror attack that happened, horrible, horrific event, and all of the laws that were there to prevent it didn't prevent it. And people here in the United States are like, look, why can't we have those same laws here? The ones that just didn't work? Yeah. That's not the best way to go about this. That doesn't seem to be the smartest way to look at this. But that is... That's the whole, that's what it's all about.
And even if you look
at
New Zealand, who was the first to engage this guy? Was it police or was it an actual armed citizen who had to go through?
Well, it was a guy who grabbed, first he grabbed a credit card machine, and then the terrorist apparently was too stupid to realize that he dropped a shotgun. And so this guy grabbed the shotgun before the terrorist apparently looked and ran at him with the gun. That's what it came out. There was a lot of stuff that was coming out in the days and the hours after.
Those are things that happen when you're waiting for police.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because they can't be there all the time. I don't know why it is more of a virtue to be a victim than to fight back. That doesn't make really any sense. That people are shamed, that you're being shamed, that you would be shamed for it. I'm not quite sure why that's the case, but it is. And it's unfortunate. People are shamed for wanting to protect themselves. They're shamed for wanting to defend themselves. It's pretty unbelievable. One of the other things that we're seeing, I don't know what's going on with Kellyanne Conway and her husband, but I'm really tired of the media getting involved in all of this. And I don't think the president needs to be remarking on what's happening between the two of them either, because they have young kids together. Do they not?
I think so.
This is like a War of the Roses kind of thing, like a like Kathleen Turner, Michael, what's his face? You remember? Like, this is, I don't know. So George Conway was tweeting pages from a psychiatry diagnostic manual, and he says that Trump suffers from pathologies. His wife brushed it off. And then Brad Parscale, the president's campaign manager for 2020, tweeted that George Conway was jealous of his wife Kellyanne Conway's success. And then Trump branded George Conway a total loser. And yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I don't know what that means for them, like going, like, at, I don't know what that means for their, like, their home life. But I also don't think that it's helpful for George Conway to be saying the stuff that he's saying. I mean, when you get into a marriage, your ego needs to be set aside. And can I just be completely forthright? I think that George Conway needs to be a little bit more sensitive as to what his wife does for her profession and not make her job harder, and maybe get over his own ego a little bit and make his wife's burden a little bit easier. If he wanted to be a good biblically based helpmate, that's what he would be doing, not be dragging it out like this. Honestly, that's just kind of how I think about it. And I think if the roles were reversed, she would need to do the same thing. But he's not supporting her in her particular endeavor is what he's not doing. That's what I'm seeing. And I got a problem with that. So, I mean, you can have differences of opinion, but when you take them outside of your marriage, as what he apparently has been doing, and blowing them up in the press like that, then you're not being a good husband. I'm sorry. You're not being a good husband at all. You're taking your problems, and instead of talking to your wife, you're taking it out to the media and having a spectacle and enjoying the attention that you're getting out of it. And I just think it's shameful. And I think he needs to shut the hell up, quite frankly. I mean, see, you know what I mean? And if he was an aide to the president, and Kellyanne Conway, this was, you know, people don't understand how marriages are supposed to work. It's a partnership, and he is not supporting her in that endeavor.
And it doesn't even matter. Let's say she was a Democrat, he was, you know, making things
completely
hard for her.
Agree.
It's the same thing.
I completely agree. Mary Madeline and James Carville, I know both of them, and I've known them for a number of years, and I respect both of them. And I know people don't like James, and they don't like the stuff he says, but I'm going to tell you, that man is loyal to that woman. That man, you will not hear James Carville, and he will not tolerate you criticizing the queen of his home. He will not. They have a great marriage. They have a beautiful family. And they've been one of those couples that have been able to keep it together. And she's a Republican. He's a Democrat. I mean, they could not have been. I mean, it was Bush Clinton. Right. You know, it was, or Bush Gore. I mean, my gosh, they could not be further apart on the spectrum of politics. But they prioritize their partnership with each other first and foremost. And they respect each other first and foremost. And that has always been evident, because I've been on set with both of them at CNN. When I worked there. And I've seen the way that they treat each other. I've listened to how they talk to each other. They've been married for a long time. That's how it should be. But see, he doesn't have, and I know it's crazy because nobody likes James Carville because he's a Democrat, but he can think differently, but he does not have an ego when it comes to his wife, unless he is prideful in his choice of wife, which is fine. But he does not have, his ego is not greater than his love for that woman. And I just get the opposite from George Conway in the way that he's acting. I don't want to, like, armchair, you know, psychiatrist anybody's marriage, but I just think that's unhealthy. And I don't think it's good when the president gets involved in it, because they have little kids. And I just, that bothers me a lot to see that. I mean, that really bothers me. So I don't know. So in looking at all of this, with all of this, I mean, it's pretty amazing to see all of this. We got some 2020 stuff coming up that we're going to get into. We're also going to touch upon this ruling that came out about this bed and breakfast in Hawaii, because we talked about the bakeries in Colorado. This is a story that's been going on for like 5-6 years now. And there's an update on it. It's a bed and breakfast that's operated by some Christians in Hawaii, and they just got punished by the court. So we're going to have that story for you as well, and we'll get into all of that. In the meantime, as we get going, Patriot Mobile is my cell phone service. I love working with them because they provide great customer service, and I actually spend less on my phone bill than I did previously. But also, the causes that I am not directly supporting because I don't work with Big Mobile. See, Big Mobile spends a lot of your cell phone bill money on things. They donate it to Planned Parenthood, amnesty groups, all sorts of stuff. And so You're actually, with your phone, you use it every day, you're funding the things that you vote against. This is one of the big reasons why you need to switch to Patriot Mobile. They fight daily for the sanctity of life, your Second Amendment rights, strong border security. They make it possible for your phone to have a political action and to fund those causes. And they do it. Use your phone every single day. Why not use it to make change? Patriot Mobile will donate a portion of your cell phone bill to those causes to get those issues done and to protect those issues. And they offer you a contract buyout, $500 per line, up to $1,500 per account and credits. So stop funding big mobile with and you get unlimited plans at Patriot Mobile, starting as low as $20 a month. Mention Dana when you call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Visit them online at patriotmobile.com/Dana. Get up to 2 activation fees waived. 1-800-A-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Dana.
Fisking the news media to give you the truth.
It's Dana Lash.
Gosh, I love The Cure. It's a cure kind of day. Yeah, so CNN believes that comparing Marco Rubio to the Parkland murderer and saying that I am a horrible mother is defined as, quote, advancing the national conversation, end quote, on gun control. Wow. Yeah, I know. And it's amazing how many violent progressives, they are completely okay with that kind of behavior, because progressivism is a very violent ideology. It attracts people with violent tendencies, and it is a very violent ideology. And that is, it makes people very uncomfortable when they have to face that reality. And that's exactly what it is. It's pretty unbelievable. But it is, you know, in all of this, to see them give themselves to see them celebrate themselves getting an award, if anyone that had anything to do with the CNN town hall had any integrity, they would reject this sham of a quote-unquote Cronkite award. And if they honestly believe that that is somehow award-winning journalism, then journalism, it is unrecognizable at CNN, because that was ridiculous. I mean, tell me what part of the production that you all are most proud of. When you cued me to walk out to Black Eyed Peas, Let's Get It Started, into an arena where you allowed Scott Israel to get up on stage and talk about me, the quote-unquote NRA lady, end quote, as being responsible for apparently his job, and I only knew he existed that day. I mean, was that what you're most proud of? Or are you most proud of when you allowed him to go up on stage and say all of that stuff? Or are you most proud of the fact that you didn't have enough security, which is how a woman was able to rush the stage and try to attack me from behind until, thank heavens, one of my three detail. And if I didn't have them, I would have been taken down. Absolutely. And CNN, if you have the brass to release that footage, I challenge you to do so. And you know they're going to be silent about it because they have it and they won't do it. So is that what you're most proud of? I'm interested in if that's the production element that you're most proud of. Or maybe you're most proud of not knowing that, or not telling me that I was even going to be on stage until I got there. I knew I was going to be taking questions, but I didn't know I was going to be on stage until I got there. Is that what you're most proud of, that you didn't like clue me into that? I mean,
you know what I think is, well, first I've read the definition of what the Walter Cronkite Award is, and it's an award for excellence in journalism. I'm not seeing any of that. As a matter of fact, what's not journalistic was the entire town hall. There wasn't any journalism there. What would you point to that points to any sort of actual journalism? Like what Miami Herald has done in Florida is way more journalistic.
Florida Sun Sentinel, yeah.
Yeah, and the Florida Sun Sentinel absolutely is, yep, way more journalistic.
We're gonna talk more about this because I want to get headlines in too. But yeah, I'm just curious as to what part would be most, do they think is most journalistic in all of this. So we'll have that. Let's go ahead and get it into some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh my goodness, and there are some. Okay, so the Iranian commander says all of Israel is within reach of Hezbollah's missiles. Ooga booga booga booga. They're over there ooga booga boogin. We're going to talk. I have to get into this because I'm so tired of their little theocratic dog and pony show that they have over there in Tehran. They said that they sent some of their warships out and they said, oh, we have everything. All of Israel's within reach of our missiles. But we're not going to actually shoot at them because Israel would kick our ever loving A double snakes. And you know, that's true. This pains me to state this out loud. KIRO 7 in New York, New York woman gives birth to a 15-pound baby girl. 15-pound baby girl, ladies. 15 pounds. All 15 pound of her. She's adorable. largest baby on record at Elmira Hospital, according to news sources. Harper Buckley, 23 and a quarter inches long. Biggest baby born at the hospital in the last 30 years. 15-pound baby. God bless you, Mama. Oh, my word. Oh, my gosh. A terrified Russian scares off a moose by throwing a cat at it. Kane sent this one in over at Daily Mail. Yeah. The moose had sparked chaos. It wandered into some town from a nearby forest. People couldn't scare it away. And then a man threw his own cat, and the moose was, like, bewildered and kind of finally ran off. The cat, I'm sure, was pretty bewildered, too. But good night. Hey, you threw your cat at it? I mean, I know I'm not a fan of cats, but, I mean, that seems pretty harsh. You know what I'm saying?
That's like the closest weapon.
Yeah, I guess so. And five ISIS fighters captured for alleged role in a Syria blast that killed four Americans. It was the deadliest attack on U.S. forces in Syria since they arrived in 2015. Coming up, Iran is, well, it's trying to scare people. Oh, my gosh. Did you also see the video that Maduro put out where he was, like, trying to scare U.S. Marines? Oh, we got to discuss that. Stay with us.
Stream the podcasts. Tell your Amazon device, Alexa, play the Dana Show podcast.
That Iranian commander, or whatever, the theocratical leaders, welcome back to the show, in Iran, the magical, I have it on here, magical, mystical unicorn leader of theocracy threatens to oogie boogie the U.S. Iran's Rouhani urges Iranians to, quote, put all your curses on the U.S. Ooga booga 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 booga. That's what he's wanting to do. That's what he said. Associated Press says Iran's president urged Iranians to put a curse on the United States and Israel and Saudi Arabia. Oh, my goodness. That's my puppy voice. Hassan Rouhani says, quote, put all your curses on those who created the current situation. Ooga booga 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 booga. Magical mystery theocratic unicorn says. He says that it's the United States and the Zionists, because he doesn't like Jewish people, FYI. So he and Ilhan Omar, they're like, you know, samesies there. He says that he didn't say what kind of curses they should invoke, though. How will they know what kind of curses to invoke if you didn't explicitly tell them? Curses, what kind? Oh, my gosh. It's like Garth and Wayne. Those are the curses. Can you hear them? Those are the curses coming down. Why? What I don't understand is how people make so much fun of, like, people like Mike Pence and Christians here in the United States, and this guy says the crazy stuff that he says. My word. He says that all of these other countries and not us are responsible for our alien economy. That's why he was talking about putting curses on them. Wow. Why don't you guys come into the, you know, 21st century? It's great here. It's nice, you know. We don't stone people over here. It's so nice. He said that the U.S. plan, Rouhani claimed, was to, quote unquote, dominate the Iranian nation. May heavens. Their inflation is above 20%. They have 3 million unemployed. He wanted to to hear them try to talk about the economy, it's like watching a toddler put a square shape in a round hole in a shape sorter. Just not going to work. Maybe you could, hey, why don't you have the people curse you a better economy, Rouhani? Ooh, instead of cursing the United States, why don't you have your people out there, your magical mystery unicorn theocracy, curse you a better economy? Hmm? Whenever you point your finger at someone else, you have three fingers pointing back at you, and also a thumb pointing out to the side somewhere. What movie is that from? I don't even remember. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, So anyway, that is the, yeah.
You know, I don't know why this
reminds me over the sanctions
of Baghdad Bob. Remember Baghdad Bob back in the Iraq?
Golly.
Where he was like, there's nothing to see
nothing
here.
To see, bombs going off behind him. Nothing to see here. Was that him or who was that one guy who was from St. Louis? The old boomer? What's his name? I don't remember. He like faked being over in Iraq or something with his reporting. He did radio and he was mad that all of these younger, better people at broadcasting were taking all of his jobs away. Who was that old cantankerous fart? I was still in junior high when all of that was going down, so I can see how he would be really insecure about that and his thinning hair. Who was it? Oh, I don't remember. Only St. Louis people would know this. Yeah. Charles somebody. What is his name? I can't even remember his name. He's an old dude, like great grandpa old. What is his name? Oh, we're going to just you guys don't care. You guys are like, we don't care. Well, it is, because he'll probably listen and get real mad. He threatened to sue the internet one time because they made fun of him. He literally, like, back in like 2007, he threatened to sue all of the internet because they made fun of him and it hurt his old papa heart. He's a mean dude. Charles is his name, and I cannot for the life of me remember his last name. Google old Charles guy St. Louis radio, and I swear to you, it'll probably come up. I have a knack with, like, choosing the exact right phrase to Google and getting the exact right answer that I want. Anyway, he's like this old socialist, and he apparently did something. He was like the Baghdad Bob of St. Louis, and he went over. Well, he didn't go anywhere. Didn't he, like, fake a report or something out of Iraq? And he wanted to, he worked with CNN, Natch. And so he wanted to, he acted like he was, like, some big time, super important reporter, and nobody cared. I mean, you know, nobody cared about him. Anyway, I just think it's kind of funny. He reminds me of that. But Hassan Rouhani,
Charles Jacob.
Oh, my gosh. It's so perfect. Is he still around, or has he been, like, is he in the old folks' home yet? Oh, look at him.
He was doing fake news on CNN before CNN was popular for doing fake
news. Isn't
he
like a store greeter now or something? That's probably, yeah, that's really not in keeping with his talents, because he's not friendly. So, but that's about the level of his broadcasting talents. I just like being low-key jerky to people who deserve it today, right now. Low-key. It is low-key. I'm not being high-key. It's low-key. So Hassan Rouhani, they said the whole point of, he wanted to deflect criticism of his economy sucks because their unicorn sunshine theocracy is a joke, and they're hateful people who assassinate their own citizens whenever they try to protest. But Trump, though, right? Why don't we send more pallets of cash to the oogie boogie theocratic unicorns over there? We're going to curse you, United States. Look, I'm cursing you back. I just cursed you, Rouhani. Oogie boogie boogie. Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. So moving on down here, we have a couple of other things. I'm done talking about the Democrat primary. I'm done. And because it's all basically every day they're going to try to outwoke each other. I've never seen such insufferable people. They're all going to try to outwoke each other.
You know, to be the most entertaining?
Pretend that they're so put upon. Yes.
Is when it comes down to the general, when the primary's over, and watch whoever it is switch to the center quicker than it.
Now, here's a story. The Supreme Court rejected a Hawaiian bed and breakfast that refused to serve a lesbian couple. It is a Christian bed and breakfast. The justices declined to hear a challenge to a lower court ruling that found that the B&B owner violated a state anti-discrimination law by turning away the couple. So Phyllis Young runs a 3-room Aloha bed and breakfast in Honolulu. And Hawaii says that if you run a business in Hawaii, you got to run it. We're going to just pretend that we're the ones who put in all the effort and capital and everything with your business, and we're going to determine how we run your business and not you. And so she is a devout Christian. There was a lesbian couple that wanted to stay in her bed and breakfast because she serves the people who stay in her bed and breakfast, and she declined, and so they took her to court because there are no other bed and breakfasts anywhere else in Hawaii or anywhere else in the world. It is just that woman's bed and breakfast. In fact, there's nothing in Hawaii except for that bed and breakfast. They don't even have, I don't even know how they have electricity out there. That's just that woman's bed and breakfast. There are no other food places. You have to swim out there. There's, like, to get to the island, there's nothing out there. It's just that. And so these two women, instead of going, okay, well, we'll go somewhere else because it's your private business. I don't know, honestly, why you would want to sleep somewhere where someone didn't want you there. That would totally creep me out. They decided that they took her to court. And so the situation with the court is that they decided, well, they're going to let that lower court ruling stand in this religious liberty claim. So this is after the Masterpiece Cake Shop thing. They could have taken this up. It's the Cervelli versus Aloha Bed and Breakfast, and they would have had to answer things about free exercise and public accommodation law, and Alliance for Defending Freedom was involved. So they denied that particular appeal, and they did not want to hear a challenge to the lower court ruling. And so that is, I mean, the bed and breakfast was making a free exercise claim. They were citing deeply held religious beliefs. And I think that with that type of, first off, I don't think that you should have to, you should be able to run your business however you want to, because it's your business. Just because you decide to enter the, you know, public marketplace does not mean that you lose rights over your own stuff. I mean, it shouldn't. I don't know if this woman refused to serve adulterers. I don't know how, whether or not she would find out if they were adulterers or not. I don't know. But it is there. I think that there has been so much conceded in all of this. And I don't know, did they check to make sure that they're, I don't know. But apparently that was something that was brought up in the court case as well. That was like, you know, but I don't know if it, but they said apparently like they are devout and they didn't want to serve, you know, they wanted to serve how it was within their faith. So I don't know. I just think it's silly that you are the one who starts a business and you are being told by the state how you're going to run the stuff that you spent all your time and effort and money in. Then go somewhere else. Oh my gosh. Just go somewhere else. No, we want this bed and breakfast. How damn good is the bed and breakfast? Really? Do they serve quail eggs coated with 14 karat gold flakes? Like, seriously, what in the world? What is so great about it? Does the lady proprietor come out and like comb your hair in the morning as you sit and watch the sun come over the, well, or not come over, but because you're facing the opposite way. But you know what I mean? What is the point? I don't get it. It's just, I don't know. Yeah. Just, why can't, just, golly, if somebody didn't want to serve me, I'd go somewhere else. My problem is the hypocrisy, because progressives don't want to serve people that they don't like, but they expect everyone else to serve them. Right. I almost want to just open a business just so I can be like, you know what? I don't like your bumper sticker on your car. I'm not serving you. Sorry. You can't have none. People get thrown out of restaurants now all the time for hats, but oh my gosh. Anything else, you have to accommodate me, because they're little tyrants. That's what it is. They're a bunch of little tiny tyrants. It's incredibly frustrating. And I wish it wasn't like that. But, you know, I think that if you're a person of faith, you should be just as protected as anyone else. But there are less protections for people of faith, sadly. And it just doesn't, you know, doesn't make any sense. We have Today in Stupidity on the way. The average interest rate on credit card debt is over 18% APR. Have you looked at your interest rate today? You can refinance your high interest credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with autopay. The rate is fixed. It won't ever go up. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 and there are no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply when you have good credit. You deserve great service and a low interest fixed rate loan from Lightstream. That's lending uncomplicated.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Dana for more information.
To hear today's full show, subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on your device to catch anything you may have missed.
At DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. So, and I'm waiting to see, I would love to see if CNN, they've been backpatting themselves all day long after they got this Cronkite Award, which doesn't mean, I don't even know what the hell that even means, for their amazing town hall, which they said they did so much to advance the conversation on gun control at the town hall, the Parkland town hall that they had. And they said that they did such a great job with it. And I'm just like really curious as to like what part was it that they did a really good job of? Was it when they cued me to walk out to Black Eyed Peas' Let's Get It Started? Was it when they were shoving their cameras in the faces of grieving parents who they had somehow tricked, swindled or something? I don't know how they got them to participate in that freak show that they called a town hall. Or maybe was it when the woman stormed the stage to try to tackle me? Was that part of their amazing advancing the conversation? Or was it when they were running defense for the sheriff at the time, Scott Israel, who blamed his inability to do his job, he blamed his inability to do his job on me. Apparently I was responsible for making sure that Scott Israel acted like a decent sheriff. Or was it when they had me called a bad mother on stage? a horrible mother whose children were, you know, being underserved by having me as a parent. That was said repeatedly on there at that night. Or was it when they, was it when Marco Rubio was compared to the murderer? I mean, all of these things, I guess, are great ways to expand and promote and advance the conversation on gun control. And I'm just wondering specifically which CNN is most proud of. See, I'm not like some of these other conservatives that are out there. I am not interested in blowing smoke up Jeff Zucker's ass so I can get a contributorship at CNN. I declined to continue there when I worked there because of the way that they were treating conservatives. And as you can see, evidenced by that town hall. So this, I mean, the criticism is harsh because they need to be criticized harshly. If any of these individuals that were even remotely any had anything to do with this town hall, if they had any integrity, they would not accept this sham of an award. Because it's ridiculous. And it is actually really shameful that they're sitting here celebrating themselves with it and patting themselves on the back about it. They contributed to the biggest setback in dialogue on this issue that I have ever seen. And one of the reasons that we can't actually have dialogue about this issue is because what they did, because of how they handle it. Because of how they handled it. And I mean, it's just pretty amazing. And they let, and they let that sheriff, they let Scott Israel sit on stage and lie and blame me before the event and during the event. Pretty unbelievable. Pretty unbelievable. So there you have it. Unreal. So tomorrow we'll get into, because we got a lot of, we're going to watch in the 2020 stuff, and I'm just so tired of the primary. I almost don't even care anymore. I just really don't, just because it's just don't care. The primary, it's a bunch of people trying to outwoke each other. They're not interested in having any kind of serious conversation about the issues that we face, because it's all about my Russia, my Trump. That's all they're interested in. And it is the socialist primary. You're not going to see all of them are the same. They're all the same person, just different heights, different sexes, different colors. They're all the same candidate. They're all the same crazy candidate. There it is. I don't know. It is. It's a great day for a cynic. It is. It's a great day for a cynic, and it's a great day for a lot of cynicism. You're being gaslit by your media, the same media that wants to set you up. And you're told that absolute irrefutable things that are true are false, and you're attacked as a bigot if you don't believe in that gaslighting. It's absolutely abusive. It's abusive what media does to people. And by the way, do you remember how absolutely angry they are when the media was after I said that they loved it for the ratings? You all do love it for the ratings. I apologize for nothing, and I mean just as much of every single word as I said then. I mean it just as much now as I did when I said it. And this proves me absolutely right. Absolutely right. So I am exonerated. I am vindicated. Today in Stupidity came.
Well, speaking of gaslighting, Senator Gillibrand was out there talking about how it's not a security issue, this illegal immigration.
Separating
stuff.
Families, children from parents, mothers from babies, and locking up people in facilities that are run by for-profit prison companies. It's an outrage. I would get rid of all of that. That should not be under ICE. It should not be under Homeland Security. Immigration is not a security issue. It is an economic and a humanitarian and a family issue.
It is a security issue. Just ask the angel moms. But anyway, that's just another proof, you know, another element of proof that she's just pandering to her base.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Folks, have a great night. I'll be back with you tomorrow.